Ladies and gentlemen, here is a bulletin from the WQMR newsroom. An unknown sniper has fired 3 shots at President Kennedy in Dallas. Repeating this bulletin received at WQMR from the United Press. A sniper has fired at President Kennedy. Now the remainder of the bulletin, just clearing, says that a sniper has seriously wounded the president in downtown Dallas. Repeating, the United Press says that a sniper seriously wounded President Kennedy in downtown Dallas today, perhaps fatally. Bob, do you have more?
Just in, Ed. President Kennedy and Governor John Connally of Texas have been...
That was the way it started. It was 1:36 p.m. Washington time. The day, Friday, November 22nd, 1963. The first dark day. This is Ed Winton. When I first saw that report, it was still on the news ticker. I couldn't believe what was being typed. In the moments following the first bulletin, all of us reacted in our own way. It was unbelievable. It was a tragedy. It was true. The reports from Dallas kept coming in.
Wounds in the governor's chest were clearly visible. In all the turmoil, it was impossible to determine whether Secret Service agents and Dallas police returned the fire.
Bob, Parkland...
At 1:48, we brought Father Schaefer of nearby St. Andrew's Catholic Church to our studios. We asked our listeners of all faiths to join us in prayer. Then, at 1:51, we went back to the news.
Kennedy and Governor John Connally of Texas have been cut down by assassins' bullets. They were shot as they toured downtown Dallas in an open car. The president, his limp body in the arms of his wife, was rushed to Parkland Hospital. The governor was taken to the same hospital. Now, this report, Clint Hill, a Secret Service agent assigned to Mrs. Kennedy, was overheard telling the First Lady, "The president is dead." Repeating, this is unconfirmed that Clint Hill, a Secret Service agent...
Then more reports came in from Parkland Hospital.
...lifted from the rear of the White House touring car. Mr. Kennedy has been rushed to an emergency room in the hospital. They are now at Parkland Memorial Hospital, a few miles from downtown Dallas. Bob, anything else coming in now?
In a few minutes, I read the most tragic item a newsman can give. The torn piece of teletype paper contained just 3 words... Flash. President. Dead. Now, who fired those shots? Where were they fired from? How many men? Why? The questions, the rumors, the anger of the day swept through us all. Then a report of an attempted arrest in the Oak Cliff section of Dallas, just across the Dallas River. A policeman, J.D. Tippett, was shot and killed when a subject resisted arrest. The nation cried out, "Capture that man." Later, Dallas police did just that. Lee Harvey Oswald was brought into custody. At Dallas's Love Field aboard Air Force One, Lyndon Baines Johnson was sworn in as the 36th President of the United States. Moments later, the big jet carrying the body of our late president headed back here to Washington with our new president. Throughout the afternoon, the nation seemed to be transfixed to a radio or television set, hoping, I suppose, to hear someone say, "It's not true." Instead, they heard the details, as the pieces were put together, that are now history. It was a tragic day, filled with emotion. As numbness began to set in, WQMR listeners heard this report from Capitol Hill by Barry Clark.
This is Barry Clark from Washington. Several hours ago, the skies were blue and clear. The air was cool, and afternoon had begun. It was a pleasant day in November. And then, agony. The world was picked up and shaken, and the pieces fell. The skies over Washington darkened, and the city was gray. A man had died by the hand of an assassin. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 35th President of the United States, was dead. People all over this city stood mute and dumb. Their eyes lent tears and their hearts throbbed. The streets, once paths for the routine traffic of the day, suddenly held thousands of automobiles and buses taking the people home. Home to their private tears, home to their families. Home to hold themselves together in a day of pain. And beneath the gray skies, beneath the sinking sun, flags knelt to half-staff. The Capitol stood silently, and we watched it for strength and prayed for its wisdom. The White House house was in the trees of Pennsylvania Avenue, and around the fence surrounding it, people bowed their heads and prayed. It was early afternoon when the skies were clear and the world was a parade, and a man waved with a smile, his wife by his side. It was early afternoon, and then it was gray. November 22nd, 1963, a day of agony, a day of pain, a day of death. November 22nd, 1963, the end of a man's world, and the day every man knelt to pray, and pray for guidance and the wisdom to carry on. November 22nd, 1963, the sun has set, night has come on, gray skies have become black, and John F. Kennedy, our president, sleeps forever. This is Barry Clark for WQMR.
So concluded November 22nd, 1963, the first dark day.